is the Chief Nerd, Dexter. I know there's a couple of you on here so far. We're going to hold off as we normally do for the first 4 or 5 minutes, give people a chance to join in. We got some people from as far away as Greece that are usually on the phone call. I'd like to give them a few seconds to wake up and get their coffee and so forth and join the call. So that is it. Nerd number two, I'm going to ask that you hit star six, please, and just let me know that you're on the phone.
Hello?
Hello. Okay, great. I hear you. You hear me fine, correct?
It said meeting canceled when I pushed that.
It said reading canceled?
Meeting canceled.
When you hit star six?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go ahead and hit star six again. That'll mute you. Someone else, please hit star six and let me know that you're on the phone. Anybody else that's on the phone, if you could just hit star six, state your name, where you're from.
This is Nick. I'm from Maine.
Great, Nick. Welcome. I'm glad you're on here. We're going to give just a few more minutes for some other people to get on here. Go ahead and hit star six again, and that'll mute you.
Thank you. Did it work? Alive?
You're alive.
Right, alright, alright. Okay. Are these being recorded to where they can access them later? Okay. I was just wondering, because I didn't say it's good for Kim and Nick, yeah, because even if we didn't record it, it'd be awesome for them, because they were lucky enough to be here and get what we have, because today what I want to talk about is what I've been going through for about a week. It's a 76-page document, but its depth is that of some of the 300-page PDFs that you see out there for different ebooks and programs and stuff like that. It's the Founders Report by Rich Sheffrin. It's the first one, and I don't know if you saw the sales letter or not, but the whole premise behind this program is it's business success by design, okay, and the theme of the whole deal is you read a book from beginning to end, but you build a business from the end to the beginning. So it's going to the root of what causes your business to grow, as opposed to you look and you go to a Kennedy site, you go to a Kern site, and all these, and you see that you see the strategies and all these things where if you haven't done all this stuff first, it's really hard to make all that other stuff work if you haven't handled all these what's covered in this program. And I mean, today's blog was covered on, I wrote a 10-page Word doc on what I was learning in this, and today I'm going to give you another piece of this, and I'll jump into that right now. I just got to go here, and the topic is your business's ultimate purpose. And so, before you can jump into designing your business, you got to define the overarching purpose for your business's existence. And it makes sense, because if you're going to design anything, it'd be necessary to know the purpose of what you're designing. And so it's no different when you're designing your business. You got to know what the purpose is. And so the textbook definition of purpose is noun, the object toward which one strives, for which something exists. Okay, so you need to think about that and realize that without a purpose, you can't know, neither can anybody else who ever works for you, what your business is striving to achieve. And more importantly, why it even exists in the first place. Why that reason is so important, because that makes your competitive advantage. You got to have that. And so when a business operates without this understanding, the business, that's when you struggle. That's when you have problems. Now, you guys want to make sure, Kim, Nick, and whoever's listening to the recording of this, make sure now that you got your pen, you got your paper, because I'm going to give you these questions, and they're going to come in a sec, but you want to make sure and write down these questions, because it's real simple. It's like six questions. Six questions get you down to the root of what the purpose of your business is, to where you can clearly enunciate that to anybody, and then it drives everything. But let me go in and talk more. Now, it says, in a purposeless business, everything feels chaotic, harried, and maybe even meaningless. So meetings can go on for hours with endless and arbitrary decision-making criteria being thrown out by anyone with an opinion. And so without a clearly defined purpose in place, seeing the way forward is often a challenge. And so your purpose, it defines the business you're really in. And it's shocking how many entrepreneurs can't clearly state the business they're in. Okay, they ham and they haw and they're going all over the place. And then, you know, unless they've got somebody like a Kennedy, somebody that's direct and says, you know, they can ask the piercing questions, then they never get it. Defining your purpose is vitally important because it clearly defines the business you're in. And so you always define the purpose from the point of view of your customers. Okay, so in other words, what your products or services do for the customers, for the people that pay your bills, the effects that your products or services have in the lives and work of your customers, and so the specific benefits your customers enjoy from using your products and services, or the end result that they get from dealing with you and buying, from giving you their money. And so you've probably heard this example before, but it's not as it specifically relates to your business purpose. Now, at one time, long time ago, you know, railroads, they dominated cross-country transportation. But they never really defined their purpose from the point of view of the customer. And if they did, it might have been something like this. It might have said, to move people and freight over long distances in the very best way possible at the very best prices. That's one sentence. They got the essence of what their purpose is down in one sentence. They could have had that. Instead, they defined themselves as being in the business of running railroads. And because they didn't, you know, clearly identify their purpose, bus companies, trucking companies, shipping companies, eventually airlines were able to move in and dominate the industry, especially, you know, in the most profitable segments, like moving people and packages. And so if this were the only reason to define your purpose, it'd be more than enough. But there are plenty more reasons. So now a purpose, how would I say it? A purpose stacks the odds in your favor. But think about a business that has a purpose based on detailed research on their market, like what I was talking about today, those 10 ways of going through, all those ways of finding out all the information about your customers and your market. Now, a purpose, it's sure to fill a real need in the marketplace. It doesn't, doesn't it make sense that a business designed this way has a much higher chance of success? And there's so many reasons why the probability of business succeeding skyrockets with a clearly articulated purpose. And here's a few of them. You know, number one, your purpose improves your performance. So when you're clear about the primary purpose of the time and energy you spend working in your business, it drives everything you do. Your productivity soars because you'll have the criteria to judge the effectiveness of everything you undertake. The whole way you script out your day, when it's driven by a purpose, then you're able to, all of your time, you know, you can get the maximum impact out of your time. And then the second purpose, it draws A-player employees to you and outsources. So we, as humans, are passionate, okay? We want to engage in meaningful work, yet most businesses are completely devoid of meaning. I mean, I think about some of the jobs that, you know, just dead-end jobs I had in my past. I think exactly how I felt. I had, the only reason I was there was so that I could get a check, and I didn't want to be there any minute longer. I just wanted to get paid and do the least amount of work possible. And that was years ago. I'm talking about when I was just a kid, you know, but that's how it was. And most people never grow out of that. And most people never tap into any real passion. But so when your business actively cultivates and communicates its purpose, the best employees and outsourcers want to work for you because you provide more than something to, you know, there's something to do. You provide meaning to people's lives. And that reminds me of the Tony Hsieh presentation that he did at Yannick Silver's last internet or online underground seminar. He said their whole business is driven by their customer service, you know, platform. That's what drives the whole company. Is the purpose is to give customers the greatest experience ever. Okay, and that drives their hiring, it drives the, you know, all the decisions they make on how to market and everything they do. Everything comes from that. And so now the third one would be the purpose deepens employee engagement, increases their commitment. So when your business, it's the first one would be purpose improves your performance. Okay, and these are the, I think it's like six reasons or something like that, but these are the reasons why the probability, well, it's not even, that's not the question, that's just the reasons. So you're talking about the questions I referred to earlier that I'm going to come to?
Yeah.
Those are, no, I haven't got to the questions. I'm saying these are the reasons why purpose is so important to focus on. Okay, and so now the third reason, the purpose, it deepens the employee engagement, increases their commitment. So when your business provides employers, employees and outsourcers with meaningful work plus something to believe in, your business benefits from highly engaged, passionate employees who are in it for more than just the paycheck. Better yet, you know, your employees who work in the service of something they feel true devotion to bring the most energy and vitality to what they do. It's not about 9-to-5, you know, to be endured, this grueling challenge to overcome. You know, and if your business faces a difficult, seemingly, you know, impossible challenge, it'll be your business's purpose. It'll tap into the hearts and the minds of your team and make the impossible possible. It's the whole, you know, the thing that inspires the Nordstrom stories of the employees going, you know, head and shoulders above to make sure these people have a great experience. That the fourth reason, the purpose provides a roadmap for your team so your business doesn't get off track. And so to remember to reach, you got to, well, to grow with that, you want to get hit. Rich's big premise on this is you want to engineer your business so they can grow without you, because that frees you up to do more of what you want. Okay, so in order to not be needed in your business, everyone's going to need to know your purpose. And you think about it, you know, most people's minds, they wander off track. It's easy for anyone, it's like number one, which is their chief was just talking about. It's easy, you know, it's easy for anyone to lose focus and get distracted. And so, but a strong sense of purpose, it keeps everyone on track. And your business's purpose provides a roadmap for your team to chart their course along the journey. So it ensures everyone stays on track so your business doesn't end up in a ditch. Now, the fifth reason is because purpose, it drives successful innovation. Okay, in a business, we often distinguish between invention and innovation. And invention is something new, while innovation is something new that succeeds. So without a purpose, business invents more than they innovate because there's nothing driving innovation in a constructive and meaningful way. So innovation, for innovation's sake, often results in a lot of wasted time and energy, but innovation, when you design it to facilitate your business's purpose, is where meaningful progress is made. Now, the sixth reason, that purpose gives your business flexibility. And so product, services, and practically everything else in your business eventually changes. But clearly defining the purpose, you know when it's time to shift direction, change what you offer, or anything else, because the only thing that won't change is your purpose. But how you go about achieving it is always subject to change. And that's why knowing your purpose keeps you flexible, because you know the one thing that won't change while you remain willing and able to change anything else. And so purpose, and the seventh reason is purpose builds brand. By clearly and consistently communicating your purpose to your prospects, customers, and the world, you're consistently telling the world how to label and position your company. Over time, this reputation leads to the building of the brand in the minds of those who matter to you most. Think of all of us we know. Kennedy, you know, professor of harsh reality. You know, you go to Kennedy, you're getting it raw. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be dressed up. It's not going to be corporatized. It's going to be raw entrepreneurial experience and results-driven experience. And so, you know, for all those reasons plus more, you know, you got to define the purpose of giving your business a reason for being that goes beyond making money. And it's almost always, you know, it almost always results in making more money than you ever thought possible. And so now you got to realize that when your business when you design your business to fulfill a purpose, you know, to drive the business, ensure that something remarkable happens with your product or service. And the thing about purpose is that it starts with the leaders. It starts with you, Nick. It starts with you, Kim. It starts with Chief. It starts with anybody who's out there, whoever's listening to this. And your purpose has the greatest chance of success if it removes a pain, frustration, or challenge. In other words, you know, if your purpose removes a negative already in the lives of your prospects and customers. And why? Because pain sells best. And you think about it, you know, people spend this enormous, enormous amount of money, time, and energy avoiding pain. They avoid, they avoid confronting their neighbors, bosses, spouses to avoid emotional pain. They gulp down mountains of drugs to suppress physical pain. They gulp down all kinds of unhealthy food to suppress unhealthy emotions. Okay? Now, you should be able to, you know, and it's the very same reason we started to break down your, you know, in a part of this deal. It's, well, let me see here. Like, you should be, you should articulate your business purpose succinctly in like one or two sentences. It should be, you know, broad, fundamental, inspirational, enduring. And so companies, you know, that have done this, here's a few you probably recognize, like Google, okay? Their purpose, to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. Facebook, giving people the power to share and make their world more open and connected. Walmart, saving people money so they can live better. Disney, keeping alive the magic of childhood. And then Rich gets his, the words, and strategic profits to guide, advise, and nurture entrepreneurs to work less, make more, while building the business of their dreams. Okay? Now, you want to hear, like here, you want to, here's the questions. I'm getting to the, I'm going to go to the questions right now. And so the first one would be, what does your business provide? Okay? And I'll give you the example. What I found very helpful about this, and what you can find very helpful, Nick, Kim, anybody else that's listening, is that if your market is the internet marketing crowd, you want to pay extra attention to this. Okay, if you're selling stuff to people running businesses, here's strategic profits. They're what they what Rich thought is how he came to his purpose. Okay, so what does your business provide? He says, we provide products and programs to help entrepreneurs grow their businesses faster while working less. That's for question number one. What does your business provide? Second question, why is that important? Once again, why is that important? Entrepreneurs, in his quote, entrepreneurs are the lifeblood of the economy, and most are unprepared for properly navigating their businesses. Number three, the third question, why is that important? Again, you go deeper. You get into the deep structure of the belief of what you said up front. And so why is that important? Again, and so without proper training, the entrepreneur's workload skyrockets while their overall chances of success plummets. Once again, next question, why is that important? Deeper. Deeper and deeper. If any of you studied any kind of NLP, you know that when you're trying to elicit somebody's true values, you keep asking this kind of question. Why is that important to you? Why is that important to you? Why is that important to you? Because you get a lot of surface-level answers. And so the next one is, why is that important? What he wrote was, the entrepreneur ends up sacrificing friends, family, and fun for marginal profits at best, bankruptcy at worst. Once again, next question, why is that important? For most small business owners, the American dream quickly turns into a nightmare, destroying their families and finances all in one fell swoop. Again, one last time, why is that important? Why is it, you know, why is it important for, you know, if for most small business owners, if their, you know, dreams are turning into nightmares, you know, why is that important? So when a business succeeds the right way, how he answered it, everyone benefits, the owner and the family, the employees and their families, the businesses that supply them, the customers that buy from them. And so the next question is, what would the world lose if we ceased to exist? Okay, you ask yourself that. What would the world lose if I ceased to exist? Okay, and his response to that was a beacon of hope, freedom, and success for entrepreneurs worldwide. So once he boils all that down, he comes to the strategic profit's purpose is to guide, advise, and nurture entrepreneurs to work less, make more, while building the business of their dreams. Okay, and that made me kind of refine the purpose of what we're doing for you, Kim and Nick, everyone else listening. Okay, and I thought about this, and I went through this, that, okay, I'm going to come up with, you know, I thought, you know, what we're doing, what note-taking nerd, what we're trying to do for you, is chomp away at the elephant of information overload one program at a time so that you can spend more time making money and less time learning about making money. Clear, concise, compact. Easy to remember. Okay? And I know I'm picking up probably more than my 10 minutes, so I'm getting off, but I thought it was way too valuable to cheat the subject. You guys run through those questions, and you'll become old. I mean, you're going to be light years ahead of most of the entrepreneurs out there. And so with that said, I'm done. That's going to be way too hard. That's going to be... Okay, I'll talk to you guys later, and I was glad to be here, happy to be here, and look forward to talking to you guys soon. Bye.
It's on the phone call. Could you please send me an email real quick at mynotetakingnerd@gmail.com? Please send an email. We've had some serious technical issues on this call, which is never good, but we will work through them. If you could please send an email. Okay, we just had someone come in. If you could please send an email to mynotetakingnerd@gmail.com, just let me know who's on the phone call, please. I'm holding until I get some emails. Are you there? With that, I have to end today's phone call because of a technical difficulty, and we will find a way to solve this issue. Go ahead and hang up, Nerd 2. Thank you very much. If it's on the call, please send me an email. Even you, note-taking nerd 2, please send me an email if you're on this call.
Hi, Dan. It's John.
John, how you doing?
Good. How are you? John Imes.
Excellent. Good to hear from you. I'm having an interesting day. We had a good first half of the phone call, and somewhere midway through our first 15 minutes, the conference just started kicking people off.
Oh, okay.
And
I'm just now getting on, so I wasn't part of that.
Yeah, you missed. I'm not sure. We should have people joining us back. We had five people actually on the call, and then at that point, I shared some stuff. Nerd number two shared some stuff. And during this process, people just start getting kicked off. So, you had no problem with your access code?
No. No, I got right on.
Okay. I'm going to, if you'll give me just a second, we'll...
Yeah, I'm fine to hang on here.
Excellent. Go ahead and hit *6, if you will, and unmute yourself. Mute yourself. I'll be with you guys in 1 second. Anybody, including nerd number two, please send me an email that you're on the phone call. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, we got a few other people on, I believe. I believe John's on this call. We're waiting for Nick, Chris, and another Chris to join us again, and we'll get going. For those of you that just joined us, you, John, we shared myself as well as nerd number two shared some stuff that we had been learning this week. You'll be able to access that via the MP3 recording. We're going to be opening up the phones, hopefully here in a minute, to you guys. But as of right now, we have no you guys because we somehow managed to lose everybody on a phone call. With that, I'm going to go ahead and move forward, do the best with what we have. This phone call is a masterminding phone call, meaning that we're sharing with one another, you know, what we're doing and what's working, what's not working, mainly some of the key things that you may have learned this week or this month or this year that you feel is important to share with one another, and then also to ask questions about how we might help you or share some stuff that you might be able to help us with. With that, I'm going to ask that John, if you're still available, if you could go ahead and open up your phone line by hitting star 6, state your name, where you're from, and what business you're in. That would be great.
Yeah, John Imes. I'm a physical therapist in Poway, California.
Excellent. John, do you are you self-employed, or do you work for someone else, or...
Yeah, I'm self-employed, and I also teach seminars and have info products that I sell, home study courses.
Excellent. And those home study courses, who do they direct it at, John?
They're designed for people who treat musculoskeletal pain, physical therapists, massage therapists, chiropractors, anyone who treats musculoskeletal pain. So that's my primary market. I'm moving into the direction of doing work in the area of home study course that I'm coming out with. It'll be for stress, anxiety, insomnia. It'll cover those kinds of areas. So that's a bit of a change in the niche direction that I've been working in the past.
Now, when you say that you're in those particular niches, now, are you teaching these therapists and so forth a better way to do what they do, or are you teaching them how to market their business? What is it?
I just launched a week ago a home study course on how to market their practice. It's based on a seminar I did 2 years ago here in San Diego. And then I also teach seminars on a technique that I've developed called Primal Reflex Release Technique, which is the fastest way to release pain. So that's been the major thrust of my work is the work in the area of a hands-on approach to releasing pain.
Excellent. Well, with that, with the people that may or may not be on the phone call, but the other 22 people that are in this program will hear this recording at some point. If you might share with us, I'm familiar with a gentleman by the name of Pete Egoscue. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him or not.
Oh, yeah. Pete is... Yeah. Is right here in San Diego where I am.
Okay, great. And I can attest that his particular techniques have helped me when I've used them with different pain and so forth. Is there something, a quick technique or some type of a solution or a website that you could share with us that is there something in your area of expertise that you might be able to share with us that could help people like us that sit at desks all day that may have, you know, hip or back pain, that type of stuff? Is there anything that you might be able to share with us in that area?
The only website I have at this point is for practitioners, so it's geared individuals okay. who treat pain. I'm working on evolving my technology to be like Pete, and that I'm going to be having a version of my work that people can use at home, but that's not ready yet, and the website isn't up yet, so that's okay. a few months down the road.
Great. What's been your, if you don't mind, I'm just, if you don't mind, in I'm just going to kind of guide you through a few questions. Is that okay with you, John?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. What are the key mentors in the area of marketing that you've had in your business throughout the years? Who would you consider to be the top two, if you will? And what sets them apart from the other, quote, gurus?
Oh, my goodness, that's a tough one. I've studied with many of them. Probably Dan Kennedy would be first and second if I had to rank
okay.
people. I've studied with Dan for over two decades. I'm probably one of his longest students in terms of longevity. I was at his one of his seminars in Phoenix when there were probably only 10 people there. And he
oh, wow.
he stuttered very badly in those days and was at that time simply a an individual that had a business that he was duplicating cassette tapes, and he was actually doing some public speaking, which was fascinating, that somebody who had a speaking problem would get up in front of groups of people and speak to them. I was even there. He talks about his pink Cadillac being repossessed. I was there when he left the 10 of us and went out back in the alley, and his pink Cadillac was towed away, and came back in and conducted the seminar as if nothing had happened, which was pretty impressive. I don't think I could have done that if somebody had repossessed my car.
Wow, that's unbelievable. So that you were actually there when
yeah,
that happened.
He tells that story in his seminar, so it's not...
It's funny. I just actually reread his autobiography, or partial autobiography, called Unfinished Business.
Uh-huh.
It's one of his least marketed books, but one of his best, and he shares that story in there, and I do find it incredible. A lot of people don't know that Dan stuttered incredibly bad when he was younger, and it's interesting to hear from someone that actually saw this.
I was there when people like Jeff Paul were there for the first seminar. He and his wife, I was there for their first seminar. Joe Polish, people that have gone on to become very successful, I was actually there when they were there for their first seminar with Dan. So interesting to see how these people have evolved and become successful over the 15, 20 years of time. I don't think there's anybody else that would come in even a close second, because Dan had, I think, a message that was really pretty clear about the process of, how to, it was magnetic marketing. I mean, it was just basically that approach that the Jeff Paul took and kind of evolved from there. But I think that's one of the reasons my business has been successful, if I've used a lot of Dan's approaches. And so that's the best answer to your question.
Yeah, it's funny you said that, because Dan, I actually, in the blog, I was asked that very question, and my answer ultimately was the exact same thing, that when it comes right down to it, I can't really put anybody in the category above or beyond Dan, and I've had the privilege of studying with, Anthony Robbins and just about everybody, and they all have incredible power and incredible passion for what they do, but there's just something about Dan that's real. He teaches in a way that nobody else does, and he offers information. So for those of you that have not really turned on to Dan as of now, as John was and I do, I recommend you do so. So you are now fully engaged in the information marketing business. What are your goals as you move forward? I mean, like, what are your do you see yourself as how big is your niche? How much have you penetrated that niche, I guess, would be a better question. And what are your goals long-term for what you're doing?
Well, I'm kind of switching niches. I mean, I've been
okay.
pretty much targeting the physical therapy market. I'm moving now in the direction of massage therapists, personal trainers, because they are more open to what works and not as focused on what's called evidence-based research, which is the criteria that medicine is moving in the direction of, meaning that it doesn't matter what you say you have unless you have published double-blind studies, unless you have research data that proves you have what you say you have, then people don't take you seriously, and we're pretty young in the business to have that, so we don't have any university connections, we don't have the ability to do that, and so in these other fields of massage and personal training, they don't have those requirements. They're really more about what works, how to make people feel better, and so we're kind of moving in that direction. But the other niche will be to take my work and to chunk it into a version that will be able to be used for people. Let's say you have plantar fasciitis, you have pain in your foot when you walk. I mean, I have a way of teaching somebody to have a spouse or a friend do a couple of really simple techniques that can oftentimes make an immediate change, even where someone may have had pain for weeks or months or even years, things that have never been seen before. So that's the direction we're moving in, because the market for people who are looking for ways to help themselves is huge, and my technology has a way of having someone either do something for themselves or have someone do this to them, and it can be safe and effective. And what makes it unique is my work has to work the first time it's done by either a practitioner or someone doing it on a family member or friend, or it's not likely to work the second, third, fourth, fifth time, meaning no other technology I know of is able to say that.
Wow.
So we're that dramatic in the response, if that's what the person needs, and that pretty much separates us from the competition.
Sounds like an incredibly powerful USP. So if I heard you right, I mean, what I'm hearing, John, is that you're saying that your industry is kind of where medicine was 10, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. where people saw herbs and alternative remedies as voodoo or mystical type stuff, and if you didn't have a medical study to back what you were doing, people as well as doctors, it was a very kind of small niche of people that actually accepted this stuff. And nowadays we see alternative health remedies being accepted more and more into general medical practices and so forth, and especially widely accepted by people, everyday people. And so what you're telling me is that the medical profession, the physical therapists involved in physical therapist practices and so forth, they're not as accepting as, say, the massage therapists and so forth. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's correct. The massage therapists, personal trainers, have yet to arrive at the same point. In time, I think they will, but it'll be a while before their associations move in the direction of feeling that they have to model after the medical profession, which is what physical therapy has done. It's now difficult for me to speak at a national level. I've spoken at many national seminars, conferences in the past, but now it's becoming more difficult because of the prerequisite for this evidence-based research. The massage therapist who wants to have a practice where they're known to be the guru in their town for pain relief, not just for rubbing people, but, I mean, they really are, when they want to be in the pain business, they want to compete with the chiropractor, the acupuncturist, whomever that they think their competition is, then they would want to know what I teach, because that would allow them to be very competitive and be able to position themselves with this idea of being able to make a difference.
Great.
In a single session.
That sounds, it kind of makes me relate to The reason that Tony Robbins was able to become so successful when he started, I'm sure you're aware of his one-stop therapist story, you know, and, and I think you could probably learn something or share something along those same lines. But right now I'm going to invite nerd number two in. Go ahead and unmute yourself and say hi to John. I know you wanted to say a few words to him. And then after that, John, I'm going to ask you to share with us, I'm going to have Nerd 2 say a few things, and then I'm going to ask you just to maybe ask us or share with us one or two things that you might be struggling with that maybe we could give you some feedback on.
Great.
But for now, are you there, number two?
I am. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you. You said you had a few things you might want to share. He's actually in the next room. He came in, John, and said that he wanted to share something with you, so go ahead.
Well, first of all, John, I got to say, your voice sounds really familiar. It sounds like, you know, from all the Kennedy seminars I've listened to. Have you been caught on any of those? Like asking questions or...
No, actually...
Being like a hot seat or something like that?
No, I haven't done anything with Dan in a number of years, so maybe it may just be a similar voice, but it's not like
I was going to say, it sounds really familiar. But I was it's so weird because I didn't say anything to the chief, but that's exactly what I was thinking was the challenge, you know, because one of the most powerful vehicles that we have in influence is demonstration. You know, and Tony, like, totally maxed that up because he said, you know, he would tell the therapist, you know, it was the whole story was revolved around the guy and saying, okay, well, you know, if you're, you know, in, you know, if you believe, he would say, if you have a hypothesis, you know, you want to prove it, okay? You're stating hypothesis, but you're unwilling to prove it. If somebody were coming at him and saying you're lying to people, you can't cure people in one session, he said, well, let me prove it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so.
Nerd number two, I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to share something that I think is important for John. Is that one of the things I know you're very aware of, John, because you're well studied, well read, is the power in the internet. The power of the internet and the power of business in general is the ability to leverage time by not having to do something over and over. Tony, in the beginning, he traveled, you know, basically 300 days a year, and he would get on stage and do these little mini seminars, and he would bring up people with phobias and so forth and treat them.
Mm-hmm.
The advantage that you have in becoming the, quote, one-stop pain therapist is that you can actually demonstrate on your websites, you know, by actually demonstrating, you know, your ability to solve pain. I don't know if it's something you can visually demonstrate. I'm assuming it is.
It is.
But, you know, this is not something that you have to go on a roadshow or, you know, to do. It's something that you can gather these testimonials, these visual testimonials of you actually healing someone's foot pain or hip pain or back pain or whatever it happens to be. And that is so powerful to be able to do with people. And if you can, you know, narrow down your USP to part of it and a big part of it being one-stop pain therapist. That, you know, I loved how you stated earlier that if it doesn't work in one setting, that it probably will not work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that that becomes part of your guarantee. But obviously, if it can, it becomes a huge selling point, because if you're telling me you can solve, you know, X pain, whatever X is. So you're obviously going to have to niche this. And one of the things that I would suggest you do is, I'm looking at new models in business. The model that's working, the model that's working more than any other model right now is numerous small products moving through a front-end funnel into a back-end continuity program. So for us, you're going to see, as we roll out the new website, you're going to see a number of $7 reports.
Mm-hmm.
Those $7 reports may be the best of Dan Kennedy's Renegade Millionaire, the best of this, the best of that, but they're going to be a number of small reports. So in your case, they may be a number of one technique of videos, short video with a small report talking about how to solve this particular pain. It could be, so when people are looking for something on the internet, they're looking for, you know, how to solve the pain they're in. They, although they may get all the other types of pains that, that you can help with, they're looking for X pain, whatever it is.
Sure.
And if you can find a way to have a short video and a short report that solves that pain at a small cost, maybe it's $19, maybe it's $29, whatever it is, and you can funnel all those different niche products down into the central piece, by the way, once you've captured their names through this front-end product, your central relationship piece should be funneling them, all of those customers, to your blog. And that's where you begin to develop a relationship by sharing your story. And I mean, all these great stories. I mean, I've learned some, you know, just great stories. The fact that you were there, that, I mean, that's so interesting to me. And it develops a level of credibility with you. For someone like me, it gives you credibility instantly, because I relate 100%, because I'm a huge Dan Kennedy fan. And to hear that you were actually there and you saw this happen, it not only lends more credibility to Dan, but it for whatever reason, it gives more credibility to me. And so you have this central relationship blog as a centerpiece, and then on the back end, you are, you know, trying to move them into a monthly continuity plan. If you can find a way to do that, I will tell you, it's called the wagon wheel approach. It was developed by a gentleman by the name of Ray Edwards.
Jim
Edwards, sorry.
I know Jim's work. Uh-huh.
Okay, so and that by far is the model that's working right now. But I'd like to ask you right now, John, what is, you know, one or two things that you're struggling with that we might be able to help you with, or you know, anything that you might have a question about that would not only help you, but, you know, by sharing it, you're helping everybody else that will eventually listen to this.
One of the ways that we get a great deal of our business is Google AdWords.
Okay.
That's where we advertise to drive people to our website, where they can order our home study course, which is a 30-day trial, trial. We're not as sophisticated in Google AdWords as we need to be. We need to become better at that so that we get more traffic for fewer dollars. And also, I'd like to begin to start a campaign where I'm targeting to do private patients. I'd like to start doing more private work. I had a clinic and sold that, and so now I see private patients occasionally, but I'd like to be able to advertise within the Southern California area with using Google AdWords, so it would be more of a local campaign. So I'm struggling. That's probably the area I'm struggling the most, is the area of understanding or working with somebody who understands Google AdWords well enough to be able to develop a better campaign than what we have, and to have a separate campaign that can be for my private practice side of things.
What, if you don't mind me asking, in a ballpark figure, are you spending a significant amount, or a small amount, or somewhere in between?
I'm spending, I think, in the neighborhood of $1,500 a month. That's about right. Yeah, somewhere. It varies, but it's around that.
Okay. Well, that's a significant amount. And do you have a baseline number for what you're currently getting from that number? In other words, you know, if I put X into Google AdWords, I generally get X back out.
Yeah, we more than cover our cost, and that's just for the home study course. And then, of course, we have three levels of seminars after they buy the home study course. And if anybody takes any of the seminars, then obviously we're in a huge profit mode at that point.
But you know that if I spend $1,500, I'm going to get X number of customers, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You know that, you know, for every $100 I spend, it's generally costing me X amount to do it, to create a lead, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Well,
we looked at that.
And what type of keywords are you currently using?
Oh. I'm not sure I understand how to answer your question as far as the type of keywords. I mean, we're trying to target using words that patients won't click on, because, again, the home study course is designed for practitioners. So we're concerned that we have to target the verbiage that practitioners would click on and patients would understand that it's not for them. So it's, you know, we're using words like, or phrases like, see immediate changes in your patient's pain, something like that, to be able to have the connotation that it's not something that we want people in pain to click on.
Do you have competitors in your market?
Oh yeah, I mean there's a huge number of people in physical therapy who teach seminars, and some of them have home study courses. I actually don't know how many of them are using Google AdWords you know, to compete. So, and again, what I'm struggling to answer is I'm not very knowledgeable about Google AdWords. I've had a college student who's helped me with that aspect of things, and he's back at school now, and so I'm kind of struggling with, you know, where to go from here because I don't have his help.
Well, there's two things I would suggest to you, John. One, I suggest you go back to the second phone call, actually the first phone call, the traffic explosion module that we did. It's on the UPL content website.
Okay.
There's an entire module in there. Two, I'll be uploading all of the remaining bonuses. One of them is our nerd report on the current, the 2009 version of Perry Marshall's Google AdWords program. Okay. So, one, look at the basic explanation and strategy guide that we have in our traffic explosion module.
Okay.
That module was the best of four programs that I went through on, you know, developing traffic, Google AdWords or pay-per-click advertising being number one. Now, John, the thing that I also want to point out is that many people, there's a number of things you're going to find when you go back to the report. Okay, I don't have time to go through the entire report nor every strategy now, but I urge you immediately following this phone call or in the next couple days to go back and just skim through that report and get to the pay-per-click. There's two things you're going to look at. One, the pay-per-click section of the report.
Okay.
You're going to find a detailed explanation from A to Z of how to do Google AdWords. Okay. And it's going to help you tremendously. Two, though, you're going to find that many people focus on Google when there's an equal, if not more, number of customers in the other search engines like Yahoo, Ask.com, stuff like that.
Okay.
So you're going to want to look at that whole section that explains a lot in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But the number one area, by the way, that drives traffic for people like you are banner ads. Banner ads are the big key for banner ads are that you're going to be able to go in and actually target other websites. You're going to basically how a banner ad works. It's a text ad that is placed on blogs and other websites that allow those ads to be placed on them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can compile a list of other people or other websites, such as and a lot of the banner ads are placed on blogs, but if you can find blogs that are writing to your particular customers, and then create a special report, if you will, so you're driving people, because a banner should be not asking people to buy, but it should be saying, you know, for my 7-step report on increasing your, you know, physical therapist practice, click here. I mean, that's a basic example.
Okay.
But I encourage you to study as much as you can, and all you really need are these two reports that we send you. Okay, one, get the traffic explosion, look at that. Two, get the Google AdWords report that we've done, look at that. And then three, learn about banner advertising, because it's incredibly powerful. And not just from my own experience, but I've studied my butt off in this area, and every single, quote, guru or website that I see that's successful, they are using banner advertising a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, finally, the other
Real quick, I wanted to mention, John.
Yeah.
It's on today's post is the 10 steps about finding, you know, everything you need to know about your prospect. Those are the 10 things that Dick Sheffrin uses to find all this information. And the first one, the first step, is building a strong key list or a keyword list. Mm-hmm. And it goes through the entire process of going through and looking through your finding, you know, strong keywords, and then going through and finding all your competitors' strong keywords and keyword phrases that you might not even be using. But it's step by step in there. So just refer back to the post, and you'll see the first one. It's just right after the subhead. It says 10 steps after find a 10 steps to finding everything you need to know about your prospect. And it's in depth.
Great.
And it'll give you... And
it's on today's blog, and then and it's a very good post. But the last thing that I wanted to say, John, this is something that you know, you're aware of as well, is that if you can find a baseline number that you're comfortable with, I highly encourage you, and I'm gonna send you sometime in the next 48 hours, I will send you a copy of. And by the way, when you logged on, and I'll send you an email. You referred to me as Dan. I'm not Dan. I'm Dexter. Dan runs a separate side business that we do together.
Okay.
But I will send you an email explaining that.
Okay.
But John, I wanted to tell you that the other thing that you're going to want to do is you're going to want to if you can find a baseline number that you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of experts that are very good. One of them that's highly, highly recommended in the industry is Kurt Christensen. I don't know if you know who that is.
I know who Kurt is.
Yeah, Kurt and his proteges. But if you can find a good person that can run your campaigns without you having to do anything and that will work on performance, that's the key, is finding someone that will work on performance only. In other words, you know, this is my baseline. And with you being able to tell them that, look, I had a college student doing this, I know nothing about it, and this is the kind of revenue that I'm able to do. Mm-hmm. This is what it costs me for a lead now.
Yeah.
Okay? And if you're able to tell them that, you know, if for above and beyond that, I'm willing to give you X percentage or X amount of dollars per lead, you should be able to find a very competent and person that will work hard at this on performance. Because ultimately, you want to be doing what you're good at, which is developing the content and these programs.
Mm-hmm.
Although you want to have an understanding, in other words, you want to get in, you want to read these reports, it's important to know why this stuff is... you know, how to do it. But in the end, you want to be able to know how it works so that you're not ignorant as to what they're doing. But at the same time, in the end, you're going to be more successful by not wasting a lot of your time doing what you're not, you know, passionate about, if you will.
Right.
And
I couldn't agree with you more. I think you've hit the nail on the head, and I've never thought about doing this on a performance basis, and that makes perfect sense to me, because I really don't want to be a Google AdWords expert or an SEO expert. I just want that stuff to work for me, but I don't want to be a techie.
Well, and that's the power of the internet. I mean, that really is the power of the internet. And by the way, I heard another person or two join us. I think someone else got back in, so please send me an email at mynotetakingnerd@gmail.com. Let me know if you are able to make the phone call again. We've obviously had some technical difficulties here. I've used this service, 50 times. I've never had a problem. Today it kicked everybody off. I have no idea why, but that's the challenge you have. As I'm growing now, I'm going to have to move to a paid service, and I will probably start that next week because of this challenge. But send me an email. Let me know you're there. John, we're talking, too, about his challenge, which is on Google AdWords, and he's lost his college student that was handling that for him, and he's struggling with trying to figure out how to do that. My suggestion was get educated, one. I gave him the resources, which were our Traffic Explosion, which he can download if he hasn't already and read that section. Two, the Google AdWords report that's part of the bonuses that are being uploaded today. And then finally, going out and trying to find someone on a performance basis. The power of the Internet, John, and anybody else that may be listening, is the fact that you can do almost anything on performance. And it's such a great way of doing it because the results are immediate. People with affiliate programs, people know the results. You know, it's not something that you can necessarily hide from people. And, I mean, the truth be told, if someone's able to increase your results by 100 or 200 or you know, 1,000%, I'm sure you'd be glad to give them a percentage, you know, of those profits. And I really believe that that's the way all of us should be doing. Although you might want to pay a small fee, in the end, anything on the Internet that has to do with, you know, generating more sales for your business, my suggestion is that you find someone that will do it on a performance basis.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate
it. And the one thing that you want to do, focus on, John, when you do this, is do you own the Formula 5 report yet?
Do I own that? I don't. Let's see. I think, is that Daniel Levis's program?
The Formula 5, the Stomper.net Formula 5 report it's up on the blog.
Oh, I don't think I have that, no.
That program, are you familiar with Paul Lindbergh?
I am, yes.
Okay. That's his program he did with Stomper.net. You probably saw the huge launch and everything that went on with that. Inside of that report, one of the whole modules was focused on putting together processes, okay? Because what happens within somebody, like in your situation, is they get held hostage by one employee that handles X,
right?
Whether it's billing, the computers, whatever it is. And then that person leaves for whatever reason, and then they're stuck at zero because they didn't have a process map for how that person executed everything they did. And so in that Formula 5 report, Paul Lindbergh takes you through, or I took the notes on the program, it takes you through how to get that. So let's say you get this, you find the guy that will do the Google word campaigns for you. Well, you want to have documented the process of how to do that.
Okay.
So in case this guy decides to quit or go, you know, and take off, you have every step in place. And to have a process in place to where you could put it almost in front of anybody. Okay, you could put it in front of the secretary. She could look at it and say, okay, step one, I do this. Step two, I do this. Step three, I do this. That's what frees you.
Okay.
That liberates you from that what you feel right now.
Okay, I don't mean to cut you off near number two, but we need to move forward. There's some other people that have joined us. Chris has finally been able to log on. I want to apologize to you, Chris. I want to apologize to anybody else. I believe Nick may be back with us. What we've done so far for you, Chris and Nick, is I shared something from the new book out by 50 Cent and Robert Greene called The 50th Law. I shared a chapter out of that book that I found incredibly important on accurate thinking. Nerd number two shared something from one of Rich Sheffrin's reports from his Founders Club on the power of purpose in your business. And then we've been working with John on some of the challenges he's had, and he shared the business he's in, which is the pain business, which is in the health, alternative health field, relieving pain. Right now, I do want to apologize for everybody. As I've said before, I've used this service, 50 to 100 times. I've never had a problem with it, and for whatever reason today, it just started kicking everybody off, and it would not allow people back in, which I'm not sure why. So for right now, John, if you could mute yourself, if you could hit star 6, please. I'm going to ask Chris to go ahead and unmute by hitting star 6. Chris, if you could just state your name, where you're from, and what your business is. Are you there, Chris? I'm not sure. One second. Hello. If you hit star 6 to unmute yourself, Chris or Nick, I'm assuming that you're
okay.
On the line. Who do I have?
Can you see me now?
Yes.
Okay, so I stumbled upon the site the other day. It was a site on internet marketing, and I'm trying to find this specific site now. I guess by tomorrow I'll send it to you. And they said that they will have some regulations, new regulations on. They will ask anybody who is, you know, who's taking money from affiliate marketing to state it clearly. This is a new regulation, they say. Do you know anything about it?
Go ahead. This is Chris, correct?
Yes, this is Chris.
Okay, Chris. Go ahead. Now, you're saying you found a website that's saying that that if you're an affiliate marketer, what now?
Yes, and if you have to state clearly, if you get money from an affiliate marketer, you should say clearly that you actually take this money. That I don't know. Do you know anything about this?
I have not heard anything about it. No, I haven't heard anything about it. I'm actually, now. What I'm assuming you might be saying is that
yes.
that you have to state that you're an affiliate as opposed to the actual person that created the program. Is that what you're referring to?
Not really. I don't think that this is the case here, but I'm trying to find this site, and I will send it to you so that we'll be sure that we say the same things. I just read this report about this Rich Sefron's Founders Club program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'd like to ask you: do you think of giving us a complete, full report on this? I mean, a paid report
on the Founders Club?
Yes.
Are you talking about that actual report that Sefron did?
Yes.
That's something that we will probably work on in the future. If we get the feedback that people want that, that's absolutely something we'll do. Absolutely. And now that you've brought it up, I'll probably send a poll out and ask the rest of the people if that's what they want. I will say this, referring back to your first question, Chris. I have a hard time believing that they'll ever be able to stop affiliate marketing or affect affiliate marketing, because I'm not sure what they could construe. You know, an affiliate marketer is nothing more than a salesman, and salesmen have been, you know, around from day one, you know, from the history of time when sales began. So, you know, if I'm an affiliate marketer for X, whoever X is, I'm unsure as to how they may be able to do that. Now, here's what I will say is that the program you found, my assumption is I'll have to look at the website you send me, but my assumption is that they are tapping into the fear that affiliates may be gone. And they're saying that here's an alternative method because affiliate marketing is going to be taken away. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
In other words, they're using they're creating a false fear, in my opinion, in saying that affiliate marketing is going to be affected in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm highly I'm deeply entrenched in looking at, you know, not just affiliate marketing, but the internet marketing business in and of itself. And the fact that I've never seen anything about, you know, anything like this happening, I'm skeptical that anything is actually happening. What I think is that, you know, what I think is that this person or these people that have created a product to tap into the fear that that affiliate marketing might disappear. So I would be interested.
No, they didn't say that it will disappear.
Okay.
They said that if you're going to get money from through an affiliate marketer, you should say clearly that you get this money. It means, you know what happens. Many times there's a text and you click. They have an announcement, for example. Okay.
Yes.
And you click to this announcement or to this info, and it takes you to another page where there is a certain site, and you can buy anything. Okay. And but you should state clearly in the first place that you are getting money from this.
I understand now. Okay, now I understand what you're saying. I apologize. This is similar to I was involved for a number of years.
This is new. They said that this is new.
Okay, yeah, I understand this. But I'm going to give you a reference point. I was involved for a number of years in the fundraising business, okay? Nationally, I did fundraising for various charities. One of the things that they tried to do unsuccessfully was that you had to state up front that you were a fundraiser. In one particular state, they did this. Basically, that when you called someone or you sent them a letter, you had to state up front that I, X, you know, my name, I'm calling on behalf of blank, but I work for this company and we make X percentage. So what I think they're trying to say is that at some point, what they've done, whoever this market is, and I'll look into it for you, is that they're saying that the powers to be or the government is saying that if you're an affiliate, that when people click on your link, you have to state that you are making a commission off that sale. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's the thing, Chris. One, I'll say, is it possible? Yes. Two, I'll say, is it likely now? I'm going to say probably not. Just because, I mean, commission is something that's in every single industry in the world, from insurance to selling cars. Every offline business and online business, I mean, people make commission. So for them to do this, they would have to set law or precedent, and that affects everybody. Does that make sense to you? So in other words, if they come along and say that they have to do this, then that precedent or law affects all other industries, and I don't think that's going to bode well for business. And so I just have a hard time believing that that will happen. Now, here's the thing, though. If that is true, and it does happen, the reality is, the truth is, that if you are bringing your customers in on a trial or very small denominational product in the beginning, if your business model is something that brings your customers in the front door on a, you know, maybe it's a $7 ebook or it's a $19 teleseminar, whatever it is. However you're developing your list before you market your affiliate products to them, if you have the relationship with your list that you're supposed to have, it will not matter that you have to disclose to them that you're making money off this product.
Because, no, actually, sure.
Go ahead. That's nerd
okay,
number two.
Nick,
go ahead.
Nick, hey, this is number two. I in thinking about that, that's exactly what I was thinking of. If you look at Frank Kern, his emails, he's developed such a great relationship with them that I'm rooting for him. I want him, if he sends me the affiliate email, I want him to get that commission. I don't want the company. Okay. I would rather not the other person selling it get. I want Frank to get. That's my buddy. And especially if he's presented in a friendly way, because, and he's really upfront with it. He says, hey, you know, you click on this link and hey, and I'm gonna, and with the money that I get from you buying it, I'm gonna go buy some shiny object. And he makes like fun of it. You know, he puts it out there, makes it light, and he just, you know, he just lets you know. But the relationship is what matters most. And then there's another example of a guy named Ray Edwards, guy that teaches about website copywriting. The guy that just did the copywriting for Tony Robbins' last launch for the Money Masters series, whatever thing. And what he does in his products is he'll say, okay, now he just did this for AWeber. Okay, I was watching one of his programs, and he said, okay, now if you go to AWeber.com, you know, he was talking about autoresponders. He said, you go there, you sign up, they're going to be able to take care of what we were just talking about and help you with that. Now, you can go to AWeber.com, or you can go to RaysAutoresponder.com, and I'm going to get a piece of that. Whatever you want to do, that's fine. It doesn't matter to me. I'm here for you. I'm here to serve you. So if people get that idea that you have the best interest in mind, they'll be rooting for you.
And then also, this is Chief again, Dexter. Chris, I want to, you know, the other side about affiliate marketing is that if you're an affiliate or if someone else is affiliate, so let's look at it from both angles. One, if you're an affiliate marketer, in other words, so for those of you that may be listening, that, you know, an affiliate marketer is you're actually selling someone else's product. You're offering it to your list. Or an affiliate is someone that's offering your product to someone else's list. Either way, the key is, one, the relationship you have with your list. Two, a lot of times people will buy the product you're offering because of the bonus that you offer. The bonus that you offer is incredibly important. So regardless of whether or not you have to disclose to them, Chris, what your percentage is,
you want to
offer an incredibly good bonus to your customers for purchasing that product. So, you know, so that it's overwhelming to them. It doesn't even matter that price isn't an option. Price doesn't matter because you're giving so much away as a bonus. Now, the other side of that is that your affiliates, people that are selling your product, you want to require them, make it a requirement that they offer a bonus to their customers. Because remember that their customers are their customers for a reason. They believe in what they do. So if they're offering a special bonus for buying your product, it's going to sell your product much quicker, much faster, and with less resistance. So you want to look at it from, you know, both angles. Now, so I hope that somewhat answers the question you had there,
yes,
Chris.
I think you answered fully my question. But I will find this specific site, and I'll send you the link so that
I would love it. I would love it. And Chris, I want to thank you while we're on the phone. I want to ask you a question afterwards, but I want to publicly thank you for being a great supporter of the website and also a great accountability partner to me. You've really woke me up to a lot, and you've educated me a bunch, and I greatly appreciate the feedback that you've given me over time. And with that, I would like to ask you just a couple questions, if you don't mind. Is that okay with you, Chris?
Okay.
One, can you tell us what market are you in, what market are you wanting to be in, or what market are you currently in on the internet?
I can tell you. The subject is anything that has to do with longevity, with extending life, with supplements, with herbs, and with also with natural, non-toxic cosmetics. I think this is a big issue, and this is why I was telling you the other day. I don't know if you read this message about how important it is to have some more education on marketing for women, because women don't just buy cosmetics. They actually buy 85% of everything that is out there, and there are certain books for this. I think I sent you a couple of them.
Yeah.
So it is very important if you have a product launch program, you should include this kind of information, even in, you know, some basic ideas on this.
Okay.
So that because we're talking about 85% of the total market. They rule the market. I guess you know this.
Tom Pierce talks about that.
Did you get the e-books I sent you?
I believe I have. I have not gotten to them because I was out of town, but I will absolutely read them. And I'll also say that because of what you've said, I'm going to look at maybe adding something onto our program here in that area. I know that there's a lady out there that has what's supposed to be a very good program, and with you saying that and the great pitch that you just gave me and understanding that it is 85% of the market, I would have you looked at anything Lori Morgan Ferrero's done?
What did you say? I didn't hear you.
Lori Morgan Ferrero. If you go to Google, you might want to write this down because you're interested in this. Something that I highly recommend you look at is there's two people. One is Lori Morgan Ferrero. It's L-O-R-I-E, Morgan, M-O-R-G-A-N, and
it's
then Ferrero.
Double R.
What that?
Okay.
Ferrero is double R.
Ferrero is F-E-R-R-E-R-O.
I think so.
Yeah, that's correct. But her website, all you have to do is type in Red Hot Copy in Google, and her website will come up. It's Red Hot Copy.
Red Hot Copy.
Red, R-E-D, the color red. Hot.
Okay.
Okay, Red Hot Copy. She's kind of the quote expert. She's positioned her entire business now on, she does a series of seminars on how to market to women, and supposedly, I could say she's recommended by all the gurus. And then there's another lady out there that you may have heard of, which is Allie
Brown.
It's Allie Brown. She's the ezinequeen.com. E-Z-E-E-N. The ezinequeen.
It's E-Z-I-N-E Queen, Q-U-E-E-N.com.
Okay. And those are two really good sources for that area. And with that,
ezinequeen.com.
ezinequeen.com, correct. Let me make sure that I'm giving you ezinequeen.com. Yeah, if you go there, her stuff immediately comes up. E-Z-I-N-E. And it redirects you to aliebrown.com now. It's A-L-I-B-R-O-W-N.com. And then the other one, like I said, is Red Hot Copy. But I will take your feedback into consideration, which is, you know, what's great about this masterminding is that we all win, but I will take your feedback into consideration, and I will look at doing a report on one of Lori or Ollie's programs. And because, you know, we do, as men, sometimes overestimate the fact that women have the buying power. I know that intellectually, but I don't act on it, and I don't do enough about it. So I appreciate you reminding me of that. Is there any one major challenge that you might be having right now with your business or launching?
Well, I have many major challenges, but this industry is very complex, and there are certain laws like the Codex Alimentarius, if you know it.
It's called what?
I guess you don't know this legislation, but I will send you links about it, telling you some of the problems that I have. And there are some other problems that I think everybody has, that everybody that who wants to, you know, to get into this business, not this specific business, I mean vitamins and supplements and cosmetics, but web marketing in general. And I would like to have some information, even as a separate program on taxation, international taxation, and what we do with this issue. It's very complex, at least for me, because different rules apply into different countries. I don't know if you could say something for this, or make a product, or inform us about a certain product.
No, and I also think that, you know, in the health industry as a whole, I know that there's tons of legal issues in that area.
And also there's an insurance issue. What we do with insurance. I mean, if someone gets a certain supplement, this is possible, okay, and they have a problem, and they sue you, what do you do? Do you know this program called Bill Gates?
Bill Gates?
www.billgates.com.
No, I'm unaware at this particular time, but I'm typing it in, and I'm going to bookmark it, and I'm going to look at it. As obviously, I mean, you're saying Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. Pill. Like the pills.
Pill.
But,
So it's
I'll try to find where it is. Okay, I'll send you all these links tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, if you'll send me the links, I'll definitely give you feedback on everything there, and I'll look at doing some reports in this area. I'm sorry, again, Chris, I do not know what happened earlier. I still can't figure it out because some people were able to log in and others weren't. I'm beginning to think that there may have been a problem international because I know you're international, and I believe...
Right now, yes. Actually, I'm located in New York. I'm in, but now I'm in Greece, and I'll be back in a couple of months. I have to do some things here.
I'm jealous.
You're jealous.
It's beautiful over there.
Yes, especially the islands. So if you want to come, I will invite you. By next year, you can come, and we can go to some places.
I will take you up on that next year. So what I'm going to ask you to do is send me the links, send me the questions, recommend some areas that we can do some reports on, and I will do my absolute best. I will respond. Go ahead.
I want to ask you, I want to say one thing. Actually, as I told you, I don't know if you remember, because I guess you're taking too many emails.
Okay.
I haven't worked for some time, and this is why I have some small problems financially right now.
Sure.
I really want to support everything that you're doing.
Yep.
Although it'll be a bit difficult for me for about a month or two, but anything that you have, I want to get it.
Okay.
So don't think that there is no response for me, but
no.
Just have to wait a bit.
Absolutely.
That's what I have to say.
I fully understand, and the fact
that... Okay, and I also have to say that you're doing very good work. Sometimes I have some programs, like Formula 5, for example, and I checked it along with your notes, and I think they're excellent, so they have a value on their own. And
very
I
good.
To say this. And one more, I think that really Dan is doing... He's fantastic. I didn't know that he's doing the copy... work for you, but he's doing very good work. I'm impressed.
Yeah, he's nerd number two. I got to say, there's only certain things. In particular, if you look at the Dan Kennedy website, and if you look at the bullet points, and the because I want to make sure, because he would probably get offended because he's a much better copywriter than me. But nerd number two has done the majority of the copy and the bullet points, and then the entire report on Renegade Millionaire. And he's going to be doing a bunch of other stuff, too. I mean, he's incredibly talented, has done some phenomenal work, and you're going to see a lot more of that. And we're going to be opening up an actual nerd site that's directed, that's specific around copywriting. And he's going to be doing a teleseminar series, a webinar series, starting next month. So hopefully, maybe toward the end of the month, your financial situation enables you to join him in that program. But...
Okay.
As I stated before, Chris, I appreciate all your feedback. I appreciate your accountability. I appreciate everything you've done for us. I'll look forward to your email. We've been on this call for 2 hours now, although you had a hard time getting on. I will look into what caused that. I'll make sure it doesn't happen anymore. And for everybody else, I've got to end this call. Well, there is nobody else. If there is... What I'm doing, for those of you that did not get on or people that were kicked off, is I'm sending an email out. I'm going to be scheduling individual times for later this week for us to get together, and that should solve the problem. But for now, I want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate you coming out to the website. Continue to come out, read our reports, as well as read our original content on the website. And I just want to thank you, Chris. Thank you, John, and everybody else, Nick, the other Chris, Tom, Tim, everybody that was on this phone call. Thank you so much for joining us. And we will talk to everybody tomorrow night. We have our personality and character phone call, and that'll be at 5:30. I'll send the details out tonight or in the morning, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.